Now the world is still. Before the daylight streaks the sky, I would know his will. I commune with him, my Savior, and listen carefully, and gain the strength I need from him while praying quietly. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. Thank you, Lord, for knowing who I am. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me. It's so easy to get lost these days in the shuffle and the noise. Why not try to do this when you wake up in the night and problems race into your mind and sleep becomes a fight? Try this simple method, you soon will gain control, and rest will surely come again, and calm come o'er your soul. The shuffle and the noise. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. Thank you, Lord, for knowing who I am. Thank you, Lord, for seeing me. It's so easy to get lost these days in the shuffle and the noise.
The woman saith unto Jesus, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm sure you recognize these words as being from the story of the woman at the well there in Samaria. And it seems that she wanted to get involved in a heated argument regarding where was the right place to worship, on top of Mount Gerizim there in Samaria or in Jerusalem. And Jesus did not enter into that argument with her. He simply let her know that when you worship the Father, you must do it in spirit and in truth. Many people would much rather argue the points of religion rather than live it. And one of the things that the Old Testament prophets thundered out against, and the New Testament speaks out against, is empty formality in worship, where the Lord says, ye honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. It's really amazing how we can do that, how we can come to church and just go through the routine of worship, sing our songs, pray our pious prayers, and not mean it. It's really something how we can do that. I mean, we've got it all memorized. It may be the Lord's Prayer that we can say from memory, or the Apostles' Creed, or even the hymns that we know by heart. And we've done it so many years, we can do it without even thinking about what we're doing. Our mind is somewhere else. As we are endeavoring to worship God, well, that becomes meaningless. It doesn't amount to anything. When you worship God, you've got to do it with all your heart. In the book of Amos, the Lord certainly gave a stirring rebuke against the congregation of Israel in those days, because they were worshiping him just outwardly, going through the feast days, making their offerings, their sacrifices, but they didn't mean it. And they weren't living godly lives. They were just going through the motions. And God said to them through his prophet Amos, regarding their feast days and their solemn assemblies and their times of worship, wherein they were so insincere, God said, I despise your feast days, and I will not take delight in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thine harps. But let justice run down like waters, and righteousness like a mighty stream. You see there, our songs and our prayers and our worship are meaningless. And God doesn't like them unless it comes from the heart. And our lives are consistent with our words of praise and worship. But let justice run down like waters, and righteousness like a mighty stream. No, it isn't enough for us to just come to church on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and for an hour or so sing our praises to the Lord, and then on Monday live any way we want to live. It doesn't work that way. Not when the heart is really worshiping God. When you love him and worship him and praise him, then it is your great desire to see that your total life is brought into concord, harmony with the one that you say you love and you worship. Well, let's worship the Lord together today, shall we? Wherever you may be, wherever you are, let's just worship God first thing in the morning. Turn the eyes of our soul heavenward. May we sense his presence, and not praise him or worship him outwardly only with just our lips, but from our heart. To worship God and to praise him. I came across a beautiful song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Singers. All to Him, it's entitled. Only to Him I will sing my praises, I will worship. Only to Him. Let's do that this morning. You want to? Only to Jesus, let us give our worship, our words of praise, and let it come from our hearts. Let's worship the Lord together.
Love us this way.
I'd rather do than lift my heart in praise and worship to you, Lord. With all my heart and mind and soul, I worship thee. And you know, when we worship God like that, we're going to get results. Things are going to happen. The Bible lets us know that God inhabits the praises of his people, not those insincere praises when our minds are somewhere else. And we just give God lip service, but when our hearts are in it. And we praise him and we worship him. And when we slip into the very presence of God, even though in a sense we do it in fear and trembling because we reverence God and we respect his holiness, yet also, and it may sound like a paradox, but even though we enter into his presence with fear and trembling, we also do it with a relaxed manner, with complete trust and confidence, not being intimidated. And the reason I say that is because as a Christian, though we revere and respect our Father, the Almighty God, we are not scared of him. Jesus has taken away the scare out of our worship of the Creator. Now Israel, they were scared of God. Do you remember when God came down on Mount Sinai and the mountain went up in a smoke and God talked to the people? They were scared to death and they said, Moses, we don't want God to talk to us anymore. You talk to us, but don't let God talk to us. They were scared. But when Jesus came and God was made flesh and dwelt among us, he took the scare out of it and brought an intimacy, a warmth, so that we can enter into his presence as a little child would come into the presence of his Father and have an audience with him. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see there, when we come to the throne of grace, we do it boldly. And that word boldly means with freedom of speech. In other words, we're not tongue-tied. We don't stand in the presence of someone who is so almighty and great that we're so scared of him, we can't even open our mouth and talk. We're dumb, tongue-tied. No, not so, since we know that Jesus is a sympathetic high priest, a Savior who is touched with our infirmities, and he becomes so warm and so personal, then we can come into the presence of the living God boldly and with freedom of speech and worship him. Let's do that today. And we worship him with full reverence and fear, but not the kind of fear whereby we are scared of him, the kind of fear that we reverence him and we respect him and we desire to please him. And as the 10th chapter of Hebrews tells us, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. What is it that makes the difference? What is it that makes it possible for us to come boldly into the presence of a living God? It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And when we are covered with his blood, washed in his blood, then we stand before God not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus. That's why we can be as a child in the family of our Father, not intimidated, not scared, but feeling very much a part of the family of God. God is our Heavenly Father, Jesus our elder brother, a family of God, and we can feel right at home in our time of worship. Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote a pretty song, quite unique, that talks about this very thing, feeling at home in the presence of Jesus. Feeling at home. We don't have to feel in a strain, but feel at home as we sit at Jesus' feet, as we worship him. Why don't we just relax right now and feel right at home in the presence of the Lord? Sense his nearness, receive his touch, feeling at home in the presence of Jesus.
Find what I found, contentment and peace.
Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured out heaven with a span, and measure the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? It is he who sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are like grasshoppers, and stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, and spreadeth them out like a tent to dwell in. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to those who have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The particular verse of scripture I want you to notice here in the 40th chapter of Isaiah is that one in verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Just catch that imagery for a moment. And this is speaking of God, the Creator. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Do you know that God takes up all the waters? The Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the South China Sea, the Indian Ocean, and he puts them in the hollow of his hand. God is so big, God is so great, God is so wonderful that he can take all the waters and put them in the hollow of his hand and measure them. Dear Lord, in this world of pain and woe, full of perplexity and confusion everywhere I go, please, dear Lord, I pray, let me always stand, shielded from it all, in the hollow of your hand. When I'm tossed on life's tempestuous sea, and it seems that the storm has covered me, protect me, Lord, and through it all let me stand, unshaken and unafraid, trusting in the hollow of your hand.
Well, as I walk this road of life, with all its pain, its endless strife, there is one who knows each care. Just when I need him, he is there. He can see my deepest need. Through faith in him, I have been freed. How I love this friend divine, since I am his and he is mine. Jesus is his name. Jesus, Jesus, every day the same. Jesus' name that dries my tears. Jesus.
Oh, I've enjoyed being with you as we've shared together 30 minutes of devotions. Thanks for joining with me. This is John Thrasher. Have a good day, and may God's very best be yours.